It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Experience the adrenaline-pumping, suspense-filled action of the Sport of Kings no matter where you are with Naira Bets. It's fast, easy, and secure. Download the app today and start winning with our lucrative weekly promotions, thrilling handicapping contests, and a one-of-a-kind VIP rewards program. Don't just watch horse racing, be a part of the action with Naira Bets.
Kentucky Derby 150 is almost here, and I frankly can't wait. And I'm so happy that tonight we are having KSR's extravaganza. Extravaganza? That's a weird way to say the word. Nevertheless, Pete Fornatel from In the Money Media, he's here back again for a second straight year to help us get you some winners this year for Kentucky Derby 150. And Pete, I'm so excited to have you back because, well, there's a variety of reasons, especially because you were big on the Japanese horse last year, and I might be big on the Japanese horse this year. But before we get to that, I got to start, Pete, by just commending the work you all do at In the Money Media. If y'all haven't followed them along, it's great because you all got something for Joe Average Idiot who just likes to pick the colors, who doesn't take it seriously. But you all also will get his in the weeds just in a variety of ways. So I love the work you're doing. I know you've got a lot of stuff coming up in Louisville and in Kentucky ahead of the Derby, and I appreciate you taking some time to join us and help people find some winners this weekend.
Well, I appreciate that, my man. It means something coming from you. As much as you pay attention to sports and betting and horse racing, and as much as racing means in your part of the world, if we're doing something to make you happy, we're doing something right. And I think you gave a good overview. You know, we'll have shorter videos on there hitting punchy little subjects about, you know, best bets to win or different wagering approaches. And we also have our nearly 3 hour long monster pod with 22 guests talking about 22 horses. And we have a lot of fun getting really deep and into the weeds, as you say. And there's also a cool little time code on there. So if you just want to check out, let's say you just want to hear what we have to say about Forever Young, you can go right to him and watch that one. Or you can just park it and be in for the long haul. And of course, a lot of our stuff, we have audio versions as well. We started mainly as a podcast, yeah, in the Money, yeah, Media, wherever you get your podcast. These days, doing a ton on YouTube as well. And web content too, inthemoneypodcast.com. We're everywhere.
It's awesome. Love to see you guys grow and love to have you on Derby Week because it's something I do every year, Pete, where I tell myself, hey, the post positions are coming out. Just don't read too much into it. They're irrelevant. It's not where you start. It's how you finish. And then the post positions come out and I'm like, Sierra Leone and Catching Freedom inside the five. And then Fierceness is drawing the 17. Nobody ever wins from the 17. Those are the three big favorites going into this race, the only single digit favorites. And I think there's a reason why. And am I crazy in being a little bit fearful for having those closers and Catching Freedom and Sierra Leone there on the inside?
It could work out fine. I mean, closers need luck no matter where they're drawn. So I think there's a world in which Sierra Leone and Catching Freedom can just drop back and weave through the field and make one run. They should save ground down there, so an inside-out type trip is possible. You know, it could be a real problem if they get caught in that argy-bargy, that going into the first turn, that cavalry, mm-hmm, charge, as it were, and they get knocked off stride or bumped or something like that. But that can happen to you anywhere in the Kentucky Derby. I would have preferred more of a middle draw for Sierra Leone. I would have liked him to be able to be a little bit more mid-pack and maybe be able to get some position going forward and hold more of a mid-pack. I think from there, he's going to have to pass them all, but he's done it before. I don't think it is the death knell to his chances. I'll tell you what, I'll be contrarian and say I like the 17 draw for fierceness. There's the stat going around that no horse has won from the 17. I don't actually think it's true, because in years when there's scratches, or in years when 20 horses don't run, they'll leave the inside gate open. So a horse may not have won with the 17 saddle towel, but I'm not sure a horse hasn't won from the 17 post. But more important than that to me is the way this horse runs, his forward running style. I just love the fact that he's drawn outside the other speed. I don't think his hand is going to be forced. As long as he breaks away from there cleanly, I think he can get the trip he needs. And if he does that, I think the others could be having a long day, because he's the one who's shown brilliance. I think the outside draw is good. I always liken it to sitting on the button in poker for the jockey. Others have to play their hands before John Velasquez has to play his. So if they're grabbing and getting goofy, he can just send and go straight to the lead. And if somebody else says, you know, I'm going to be super aggressive, he can say, okay, I've got a plan for that too. I'm going to go try to stalk two wide, three wide. He can come up with his plan on the fly. There are few better decision makers in all of professional sports than John Velasquez. I would not worry about the 17 for fierceness. And even though I think you're right to worry the tiniest bit about the closers drawn inside, you kind of have to worry about closers no matter where they're drawn. So don't overthink it. Your first thought was the best thought. Don't worry too much about it.
Well, here's another thought I have, because I still remember we had a very busy week of scratches leading into the Derby, and there was a lot of whispers on Friday and then going into Saturday. And it's like, well, it's Saturday. They're not going to scratch him now. And Mike Rapoli had the best horse going into the Derby. Forte gets scratched. It feels like the Mike Rapoli revenge tour is here. But here's the part that I think why I would worry about win betting fierceness is just the inconsistency there. Because the horse we saw in the Florida Derby was not the same horse we saw in the Holy Bull. And that's what he did right in the Juvenile, if I'm not mistaken, where he wins the Juvenile, but the race before he kind of bounces, yeah, right? And doesn't have his best performance.
Yeah, he was not good in the prep. He's been every other race. But I think people, and I don't mean to accuse you of anything here, but I think there's some element of being fooled by randomness in some of this stuff. Like, yes, that is what's happened in the past, but it doesn't mean it's what's going to happen in the future. Look, if the horse was going to be 3-2 even money, I think the skepticism would be more warranted. But I feel like because of all the attendant skepticism about him and the in and out pattern and this narrative that I also don't believe that he needs the lead. He didn't have the lead in the Juvenile. He stalked and pounced. I think all of those narratives are going to push his price better than what it should be. This is a horse where if you can end up getting 5-2, even 2-1, I think that represents good value, and you're sort of baking in the doubts into the price, and you end up with a horse you still want to bet. Rapoli's obviously had terrible luck with these favorites as we've gotten close to post time in the Derby between Uncle Mo all those years ago and Forte last year. Let's hope this one gets in the gate and shows us what he can do.
You are not kidding, Pete. Well, I want to ask you, because last year you were a big fan of Dermot Sotogake, and he was one of the best of the best of the Japanese horses. And I think it's kind of like the 17 post stat where no Japanese horses won it. Well, most of them have been 20-30-1, right? Like, they've been bad horses, but the good ones have done well. Thunder Snow, I believe, was finished 5th or 4th. And then Sotogake was like 6th or 7th. But this year, Forever Young's 10-1. And I had to pull up the UAE Derby last night, Pete. That was I was staying up late. I couldn't sleep. I was so excited.
Yeah, you get bonus points for that.
And it felt like he was fighting his jockey the entire front stretch, and then he's 4 wide on both turns and still had enough horse in him to finish strong. It's one of those where I don't, you know, fierceness has been the best of the best so far, and Sierra Leone had a great finish in the Preakness. They've had some great closers, but a Japanese horse has to win it eventually. I mean, am I wrong that this one is the one?
I don't know if I go so far as to say he is the one. He goes with a live chance. There's one thing that makes me nervous about
him. Oh, okay.
And you sort of alluded to it when you're talking about the trip in the UAE Derby. He was ridden in a very particular way to be placed such to minimize the effect of the kickback, the dirt from other horses coming back into his face. His trainer talked about it after the race. it's going to be very hard to give up that kind of ground to have that kind of trip without getting dirt kicked in your face in the Kentucky Derby. It makes me a little nervous if this horse is going to be single digit odds. He's one I'd absolutely get interested in if you start talking about 12 or 15, if the no Japanese horses won narrative takes hold. But that's all that is to me. It's a narrative. I'm with you. One of these Japanese horses, they've shown how terrific they are in dirt racing and turf racing all over the world. Yahagi, the trainer, is a master. He's won Breeders' Cup races. He can absolutely win this race. Is this the right horse? Maybe. I'd do nothing to talk you off, but I'd be a little bit nervous just because I do think the kickback could be an issue for him. But he's fast, and if Fierceness doesn't run his A game, he's probably as fast as anybody else in the race. So if you're going to get double digits, why not?
Interesting, interesting. Well, I want to ask you for your favorite long shot, and this is the best way to bet on the Run the Roses with Naira Bets, where if you sign up, you can score big on the Derby. Double dose of your reward. Sign up today for a $25 free bet, $200 deposit bonus with promo code KSR25. Join now. Claim your $25 free bet and $200 bonus deposit at NairaBets.com/KSR25. You get that $25 bet, you try to hit a bomb. Is there a bomb that you've got your eye on where, I mean, Mage was a pretty value pick. I think so. And then we had Rich Strike a few years ago. What do you got your eye on there?
I think Honor Marie is a very, very interesting long shot. This horse is just rounding into form. He's coming into the race the right way. I don't really put him much behind Catching Freedom, and I don't put him that much behind Sierra Leone. He's going to be a multiple of those runners' prices. Now, there's been wise guy chatter for the horse. I just noticed in the international race books, they cut his price tremendously. He was 33-1 internationally early in the week, cut to 20. You know, if that keeps coming in, you know, it's possible he'll be one of these horses who's everybody's wise guy horse, et cetera. But assuming you're looking at 20-1 or so on this horse, and I think that's quite reasonable, I think that represents good value. He's going to be closing late. He's not outside, but he's not, you don't want to be that far outside as a closer either. I think he's in that position where maybe he can get that good position going forward and be in a place to pounce. He was notably unfit before his return to the races at the fairgrounds this year, rounding into form when seen the last day, not quite as good as Catching Freedom, but not horrified by any stretch. He might be ready to reverse that form and hit the board or even win at a really big number. If Fierceness doesn't fire his A game, this is a very open race to me, and Honor Marie would be one of the horses I'd be the most interested in.
I'm right there with you, Pete. That was the chatter on the backside today. It was about Honor Marie, who I was on in the Louisiana Derby. Thought we were going to get him home, even though I keep wanting to say her because it's Marie.
Well, it's the Marie. Like, yeah, I hate it when they do that. For some reason, I've gotten it right with this one. But the sire, who you'll see a lot, has one in the Oaks. The sire, Fast Anna. We on the show, we always called she, and it's like when you work in the industry, as just a punter, it doesn't matter. But when you work in the industry, it's a bad mistake to make. So yeah.
Oh man. Well, you did mention the Oaks, so I did want to see. First and foremost, I'm not as familiar with some of the preps there. Is there one this year that had a stronger field than others? Because I'm trying to scan around, look at the program, and which ones had a strong field, and who do you see kind of rising to the top in that Oaks race?
This is a faster group of fillies than in the last few years. There's some really good-looking fillies who ran in the various preps, but the one I think is the key line you want to be looking at is the Ashland from right down the block from you there. It was a very strong race because it had a very talented field coming in. You had Just FYI, your 2-year-old champion. I think she'll move up significantly from that run. The winner, Leslie's Rose, was very good. The other race that I definitely want to give some credit to was the Gulfstream Park Oaks. And mainly that's because there's another one. We talked about this idea of horses you can really bet on improving. I think Ways and Means is a filly coming out of that Gulfstream Park Oaks. You can really bet on improving. She had such a jaw-dropping maiden win at Saratoga last year. She got hurt in her second start and then hadn't been seen since then until the Gulfstream Park Oaks. She had a very, very difficult trip in that race. ended up getting very tired late and fading a bit. But I mean, that's absolutely understandable off that big layoff. Chad Brown, one of the best there is. You know, he's going to have her trained to the minute to peak on this first Friday in May. She's a very good price internationally. I think she'll be a solid price in the USA pools, 4-1, 9-2, something of that order. I'm looking to mess around with her and just FYI as sort of my secondary pick. There's a bunch of other logicals you can thread in there if you're interested, a Leslie's Rose, a Torpedo Anna. But I think the value of the race and the most interesting filly for me is Ways and Means, with just FYI, the two-year-old champion right behind her.
So the point you made with Ways and Means, it's the thought of second start off a layoff, big bump. I was looking at some of the prep races, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on, because for a lot of these 4- and 5-year-olds, this is their first race since the Breeders' Cup. I mean, they have a long layoff, and then they start. I just don't know how you approach handicapping some of those races where you've got, you know, do you prefer the horse that's shown you some pedigree in the past or one that's kind of gotten hot already and maybe logged a few wins in the spring?
It depends on the specifics of the race and the trainer and even the individual horse. So I feel bad. I'll pull the splinters out of my behind for sitting on the fence here. I'm a sucker for second off a layoff in many instances. Uh-huh. Especially when, and the Oaks is the perfect example of this, especially if the trainer is one that you know is adept at pointing for a target and hitting that target. So I think that's the case with both Chad Brown, who trains Ways and Means, and Bill Mott, who trains Just FYI. There's just no way the screws are going to be to these horses for that first start back when the major goal is the next race. They're both also excellent at getting a horse ready to fire off a layoff if that layoff is the goal. But in both of these instances, I feel like I know something that isn't there in the numbers, just knowing their tendencies and knowing how good they are with a target. So when that's the case, I love to see the quality from the past. And I love just having that little bit of institutional knowledge to say they're going to run better today. If everything goes according to plan, it's horse racing. Horses have bad trips. Mm-hmm. Things happen. But if everything goes according to plan, I'm very confident those runners are going to be able to deliver career best efforts. And I think if either one of them does that, they're drawing very live to win, and neither's going to be the favorite.
I'm looking closely at Tarifa because Brad Cox giveth so much in the Kentucky Oaks. I think he's kind of similar, especially with his fillies, getting them pointed towards this race. And that horse was challenged quite a bit down at Fairgrounds, where she kind of got sideswiped almost coming around the first turn and had to slow down, and then was really going neck and neck throughout the entire backstretch, but then had a little extra something else to win by about 3/4 of a length. So curious to get at. It's also another thing too, when you see him out on the track, just kind of breezing around the track in the morning. So I'll be doing that this week on my morning radio show. You'll be coming to town. When can people come and see you? I know you're doing a lot of live shows. You've got a lot set up Kentucky Derby week here in the Bluegrass.
I'm glad you mentioned Tarifa, just because she is a deserving favorite. And in a lot of years, I could see myself siding with her. It's only the tremendous strength of the opposition and the prices that they will be that make me maybe not mention her already. She'd probably be another one to feather into those exactas with those top two. So you saved me from omitting one that should have been mentioned. As for our plans this week, Wednesday night at Malone's in Lexington, we've got a live show. There are seats still available. It's a great dinner. It's a great bar set up there. If you want to check us out live, inthemoneypodcast.com/event. You can find all the information there. You can also watch that as part of our YouTube coverage. I want everybody watching, if you're interested in my act at all, go over to our YouTube channel and subscribe. Click that notification bell. You won't miss any of the great content about horse racing we have coming out. You can watch that show right there or as part of the Derby-thon that we're doing, a 24-hour charity event live streaming that we're happy to be a part of. You can find that feed on our YouTube channel as well, starting Wednesday at 12, if all the other Derby coverage isn't enough for you. We'll be doing a live thing in Louisville on Thursday night, 6:00 at the Galt House. I'm embarrassed to say I don't know the ticketing situation for that, but if you show up, show up and drop Nick's name. We'll find a way to get you in. Okay, I promise. So that's the Golf House at 6 o'clock. That's going to be more of a Q&A type show. And we're going to be doing that one live streaming as well. So you can check that out there or catch the replay. But it's going to be a ton of fun. I love Kentucky. I go, you know, 3-4 times a year. I never fail to have an amazing time. I love doing this show with you. Really appreciate the opportunity to come on, talk about all the stuff we have going on, and hopefully give out a few winners along the way.
Well, and if you liked any of what Pete said, like the Monster Pod, they call it a Monster Pod because it is. So if you got a horse you want to know more about, 5 to 10 minutes with special guests, whether it's trainers, riders, owners, connections, whatever it may be, it's great stuff. Go check it out, In the Money Media on YouTube. Great starting place. To finish, before you give me your Derby winner, your one winner, Do we have any horses we like on the undercard? I've just taken a peek at some of the stakes, and I might have one or two that I like, even if they are kind of lame-os and not the, like, you know, you want to give out long shots, but sometimes you're like, well, this horse is only, it's 5-1. Like, yeah, I would love to have this horse at 5-1.
Hey, it's all about getting value. If the horse is 2-1, but is supposed to be even money, that's overlay of the year stuff. That's much better than getting 50-1 on a horse that's supposed to be 20-1.
You're here to win, right? Exactly. That's what matters, is cash. You got to cash tickets.
That said, the first horse I want to give out is a big long shot and a little bit of a guess, but this is a horse I really loved on the tape coming out of the last race from Keeneland, the Transylvania, on opening day. It's running in the American turf. So this is race number 9 on the Derby undercard, a horse called Can Group. I really like the attitude this horse had, trying all the way to the line from a very, very difficult trip in a race where I felt like the pace basically held together at Keeneland in the Transylvania. Here in the American turf, there is a ton of speed. I think it could be run to suit a closer, and something's going to have to be different because 4 of these beat Can Group the last time. But I think he might be able to turn the tables on him. 15-1 on the morning line, I think he'll get all of that, if not more. This is a big bomb I think is worth maybe looking into betting across the board on the undercard.
I love it. And you got to go deep in your exotics on all your pick 4s, pick 5s on these turf races, because they're great. There's deep fields everywhere.
No doubt about it. And you know, why don't we give you one to maybe get stuck into at a shorter price in the following race? Give us a better chance of giving out a winner here. In the Churchill Downs Grade 1, you were talking about how much you like Brad Cox. I think his Zozos in that race, the 6-runner, race number 10 on Saturday, looks ready based on these last workouts to redeem himself from the very much subpar effort in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. But going the 7 furlongs off the break, this is a case where this is a horse coming off the break from the Breeders' Cup, like you were saying. But this, I'm pretty sure, is the target, this Grade 1. I think he's going to come back fully formed and be very, very tough for the others to down in there. And we'll have picks. You know, if you want more picks, check it out. We're going to have a ton of coverage. That Final Answer show, we're doing that Wednesday night show. You got that. And if you want even more, including grid picks of all the big stakes races Friday and Saturday, we have our In the Money Plus service that's probably worth checking out. InTheMoneyPodcast.com/plus. It's $20. You join the service. We send you a little digest of the picks from all the shows, and you get our extra Kentucky Derby package at no extra cost. Lots of betting advice. Great stuff you can check out there. InTheMoneyPodcast.com/plus. But if you don't want to pay, there's still tons of free stuff, and you can enjoy that too.
It's funny you mentioned Zozos, because that was exactly the horse I was thinking about when I asked you that question. The same race. I was like, but he hasn't run. Am I going to be ready for it? He wasn't great in the Breeders' Cup. Mr. Wireless, I forgot what race he was in, but that same horse race caught my
He's in the same race. He'd be a good one to use underneath, I would think, with Zozos, because he's a horse like that's reinvented himself going short. He was running long. He's an older horse, he's 6, but he was going long. They cut him back last time, and he basically ran a hole in the wind, and I could see him running in behind. I don't think he's going to be able to catch Zozos, but I'd mess around maybe with the 4 and the 10 in there under the 6-runner Zozos. Maybe you catch yourself a nice exacta or try. But also, don't be greedy. If we can get 2-1, 5-1 Zozos, let's bet win.
The Pat Day Mile, and it's one of those things too, these are my initial scans, but the Pat Day Mile is one of my favorite betting races, and it looks pretty wide open. Nash caught my eye initially, but like, there's there's a lot to chew on. I can't wait. Like, it's day one of getting the program. Friday morning, Saturday morning, I'm going to have that pen. I'm just going to be marking stuff up. It's going to look like a terrible, surreal print by the time it's all said and done, and which means I haven't landed on a Derby horse. I have somebody who pointed me in the direction of Sierra Leone, and I ignored that advice, and I've looked stupid ever since. So now I feel like I might need to get on that horse, but I haven't reached a final conclusion. Mr. Pete Fornatale, have you reached a final conclusion? Do you have a Derby horse for the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby?
I think it's fierceness. I mean, maybe it's boring to go with the favorite, but one betting phenomenon we've seen with some big long shots winning over the last several years is there's a lot of horses at wild prices who are not their correct odds. So there's horses that should be 100 to 1 are 40 to 1. If they have a human name in them, the same horse could be 15 or 20 to 1. So when the long shots aren't the big price they should be, that value has to go somewhere. Sometimes it goes on the favorite, and I think a lot of people are going to question fierceness. They have already. Fierceness is not the favorite in the international books. He's the second choice, actually, to Sierra Leone. He will be the favorite on the tote, but I think he'll be a backable favorite. 5-2 for me, it's kind of a no-brainer to just go with the favorite in this instance. If you want to get cute and exactas, trifectas, superfectas, your horizontal exotics like pick threes and pick fours, feel free to do so. But I wouldn't look this gift horse potentially in the mouth too much if we're talking about 5-2. And just since you mentioned the Pat Day Mile quick, there is a horse I really like in there. I feel remiss not to mention. That's race 8 on Saturday. For me, it's Top Connor. This horse was actually ridden almost like a pace setter in the Bluegrass Stakes to help set up Sierra Leone. He ain't nobody's pace setter this time around. He's here to win. I think he's going to love the mile. I think the cutback in distance, he's going to get a great trip and be very, very hard to beat on what could be a very big Saturday for Mr. Chad Brown.
See, Pete, that's why we love you. You're here to make sure that even if we lightly scan over something, you're going to give people – because here's the thing, that you're exactly right with fierceness and really all of – the betting throughout the weekend is there's so much value. I mean, it's not like you get like a regular race day where you're betting on 6-5 favorites and just hoping to make a couple bucks here and there. Those 6-5 favorites are 4-1 on Derby and Oaks Day. A lot of value, a lot of money to be made.
A horse like Fierceness, who had the kind of figure advantage he has on a regular day, would be a 4-5 shot. So if you're talking about getting a 5-2 on a horse that, and granted that's exuberant, I'm not saying he should be 4-5.
Right.
If we knew if we knew he was going to show up and run his A race, yeah, sure. But you know, there are those questions. Those questions are real, but I think the market overrates them a little. That's why I'm happy to side with him in the big one. I'll also be getting cute in exotics with the likes of Anna Marie.
You've got to put him over the top and then let's get a little crazy. Hopefully we're all winning, and hopefully you're following Pete at Looms Boldly on Twitter and at In the Money Media Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you YouTube. Pete, it's always a joy. I hope you have safe travels to Kentucky this week, and enjoy your weekend beneath the spires. I'm having a hard time sleeping. I'm so excited. I just can't wait to get out there.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I was telling you off air. I was up at 3 a.m. to put the finishing touches on my full Kentucky Derby analysis. So yeah, it's going to be a ton of fun. Hopefully I'll see you out there in the morning. That would be great.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Pete. As always, thanks for coming by. We'll see you next year. We'll get some winners, and happy Derby.